got your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter number 20, please, and verse 19. Well, praise God. That's what we need. We need to send the rain. We need the rain sent from God. Somebody say amen. Amen. This country's in a mess. Most churches are in a mess. Most Christians are in a mess. And we need not something conjured by man, manipulated by man. We need something sent by God. Amen. Amen. I'm thirsty for that. I'm hungry for that. I desire that. And this morning, I'll be honest with you, every instinct in me this morning wants to stand and preach, okay? And every instinct, my therapist asked me not to because I do swell when I stand a little longer, and it's hard on them at therapy. So I'm going to obey Brother Briscoe for 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks, Brother Briscoe. You counting? And then I'm going to do my best to get up if the doctors say that's all right. I can preach sitting down fine. I just don't like sitting down. You probably are fine, but I'm just having, it about gives me a nervous breakdown. Somebody say amen. But I do thank Brother Briscoe and those people at MedCare. They've been a blessing to me. And he goes to our church, so I can advertise for him. If you have some kind of ailment, takes therapy, that's where to go, Brother Briscoe. You're the man, all right? Now, if you don't go to Brother Briscoe, go somewhere else, that's okay, too. I don't know if I'm good for business or bad. I'll explain that. When I go out there and they start doing one certain motion stretch, I scream like a banshee. I'm a whiner. I just can't take it. I scream, I holler. All them people just stopping. And I don't know if he's going to get more business or I may just be somebody that messes him up real good. But if they want their dollars worth, go out there and say amen. I want you to go to a passage of scripture. Last Sunday, I dealt mostly with putting the past behind us. How many of you feel like I feel as much as we want to? And I'm doing my best. That's not easy. Because you got a devil doing everything he's got in his arsenal to throw up the past. Am I right? I mean, let's just tell the truth. But that was then, and today's now. And I'm going to preach on what I think we need this year. I want to tell you what I need this year. I believe you'd say the same thing. I believe our nation needs it. I believe everybody with a problem today needs it. And I want you to look at John chapter number 20. And I'll read here. I'm going to give you a lot of passages of scripture. I'm going to talk a lot about the Old New Testament and how it deals with this passage. But sinners need this. Saints need this. Our church needs this. And look at it with me. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that's Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Literally what he done, he came through the wall into that upper room. Didn't come by a door, and he didn't knock a hole in it. Somebody said, well, I bet you when the rapture comes, we're all going to knock holes through the ceiling. No, we're not. We're just going to go right up through them. They'll have church the following Sunday here. I hope you don't come. Well, at least it finally got somebody's attention, amen? Then the Bible said, and when he had so said, peace be unto you, He showed unto himself, showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Evidently they was troubled. How many agree with me they were troubled? If he had to do it two times, that means they was in double trouble. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now notice this text in verse 22, and this is where we're going today. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I want to speak this morning on this thought, the breath of God. If there's ever a time that we need the breath of God, it's today. If there's ever a year that we need the breath of God, it's 2015. Has ever a time my life needs the breath of God? It's right now. And there's some of you in this morning that has all kinds of issues and problems. Can I tell you, the only help for you, the only hope for you, the only deliverance for you is the breath of God. Amen. When I say breath of God, let me equate two or three words with you as I deal with this in the Word of God today. The word for wind and the word for breath is the same word. And by the way, the word for wind and the word for breath both refer to the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost cannot be seen. Somebody help me. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Am I helping you? I'll never forget the skeptic that came and somebody asked him, have you ever seen the Holy Ghost? And the skeptic said, have you ever seen the Holy Ghost? And the Christian said, no. And he said, have you ever tasted the Holy Ghost? And the Christian said, no. Have you ever smelled the Holy Ghost? And the Christian said, no. How you know there is a Holy Ghost? And the Christian said to the skeptic, well, have you ever seen your brain? Have you ever tasted your brain? Have you ever smelled your brain? He said, no. Then the Christian said, then how do you know you have a brain? Your problem is you're getting your mail from the wrong place. Whoa, I'm about ready. Get up, Doc. Y'all more? Amen. Because we cannot see the Holy Ghost does not mean the Holy Ghost doesn't exist. And the Holy Ghost is a great wind of God. And it's the great breath of God. And if I could say this in the Old Testament, if we could use this, and I think we could properly do this, we would call that the dispensation of the Father. The Gospels we would call that of the Son, predominantly. But in the book of Acts and after, that's a work of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that ye may abide with you forever. See, our problem is we can quench the Holy Ghost. We can grieve the Holy Ghost. Come on, help me. The Holy Ghost is having agony this morning. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to work in your life. He wants your life to change, and you are not going to effectively change, and you're not going to be able to go forward. You're not going to be able to conquer your demons until the Holy Ghost, the breath of God, breathes on you. The scene of this passage. In chapter 20, they were in the midst of inadequacy. And then the Lord came in through the wall, showed them his hands, showed them his scar. Bible said they were glad. How you ought to be glad that he was nailed to the cross for you. You ought to be glad that a spear went inside and out come blood and water. And let me say this to you. I'm about ready to have a spell right here anyhow. Let me say this to you. You say, why did water come out? Because I want to tell you what happened. That lung area. I'm right. Upon death gets a little bit of blood and a little fluid. And that spear pierced that. And every bit of blood, he shed every bit of blood. Somebody help me. He shed every bit of blood. Amen. For you and me. Amen. Woo! They felt inadequate. How many of you sometimes raise your hand if you feel inadequate? Well, you're not in too bad a shape if you feel inadequate. Because you'll never need the breath of God, and you'll never want the breath of God, and you'll never want to have God's breath if you all the time you feel adequate. I'll tell you who God wants to bless. He wants to bless the inadequate. He wants to bless the person that knows they can't do it themselves. He wants to help the person that knows they cannot elevate themselves. That it's got to be the breath of God. It's got to be the power of God. It's got to be God that moves away of glory. And here's what the Lord done in their inadequacy. He breathed on them. I checked that word out, Chad, and he actually blew on them. He blew on them the Holy Spirit and said, receive ye the Spirit. This was before Pentecost. After the death, which it had to be, but before Pentecost. Some people believe that the church was born on Pentecost. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. The church was born when he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Then he died for the church, and then he breathed on those 12 disciples who would be the cornerstone or who would be the foundation of the church. And then in Pentecost, he empowered the church. Whew. Man, I didn't know I was going all over the place there. Stay with me. I'll give you three things and I'm done. Then I'll make an application. How many of you are starting to sense by just the first 10 minutes, I need the breath of God? I could almost just stop preaching, go down there and get on the altar. Just cry out, I need the breath of God. But I want to explain to you a little deeper what it means. First of all, number one, the Holy Spirit had part in the creation of the world. His work in creation. Genesis 1:1-2 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Amen. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. By the word move, the word wind, and the word breathe, all the same word. He brooded over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Several times in the creation account, God said, let us create man in our own image. I wonder who he was talking about. He was talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For you gap theorists, I'm going to give you a verse that'll help your cause. Won't make you win, but it'll help you. Psalm 104 and verse 30, thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. And God the Father sent forth the Holy Spirit, and they were created. Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Job said something interesting. He said, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. I did a study. Listen to this. This will help you. The word garnished is a beautiful word. It refers to beautify and made it splendid. It's a picture of what happens after a storm and the skies become blue and are restored. Every beautiful leaf on a tree is there because of the breath of God. All the beauties of the Rocky Mountains and the world and the places you've been that's beautiful are there because the almighty breath of God. Y'all with me? One time they said, Greek philosophers estimated that there were 1,022 stars. Then they got what is called a telescope, and Galileo found out that there were millions of stars. 1921, they estimated that there were over 300 million of stars. Now they don't even know their number, and it really goes right back to Job. They're innumerable. And if we don't know all the galaxies and all the stars, but I'll tell you who does. The one that breathed on this creation, the one that made this creation. This creation was made by God, and he knows everything about it. And there's things we'll never know until we get with him. Woo! Let me go a little farther. I'm about ready to get happy here. Genesis 2:7, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's his physical nature. And he breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Can I tell you something happy? When your loved one's body comes and we bring it into the church, all it is the physical. Because God done sent back and got his part. Oh, I'm about to get happy. Whoa. Psalm 139 says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? There ain't no way you can get out of the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, and he's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. Amen. If you read Psalm 139, it talks about, anybody believes in abortion is a nuthead. I'll tell you why. Read Psalm 139, come back to me and say you believe in abortion. And I'll say you're a nuthead. Because the Bible said that God knew what we was before we was ever made up. And the Bible says that we were in his book. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, when conception occurs, you know that the sperm cell from the male and the egg cell from the female come together. But I like to imagine that when a birth occurs, the breath of God blows and that sperm cell meets that contact with that egg cell and life comes. Amen. Some of you saying, boy, I've been wanting a child and we're looking for a child and we've been praying for a child. And well, they've one good way of getting it. Praying for the breath of God to touch you. It may not be in your timetable. It may not when you think it is. It may not be in June or July. But I want to tell you, I've got a God that is in control of all of that. George, I can't hardly take it. I'm about ready to leave this. I'm shouting it out here this morning. Let me say this. How about Nicodemus? I'm still staying with this creation thing. John 3, he said, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. So is everyone that is born of God. The wind that was talking about blowing there is the breath of God. Hey, sinner man, sinner woman, can I tell you something? Until the breath of God comes over you and you see yourself a sinner and you see yourself lost and you see yourself going to hell, let me tell you what happens, dude. It's just the same thing that happens at creation. The Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit starts convicting you and moving on you. Come on, am I right? And forms Christ in you. The hope of glory. Now let me go another step. Number two, stay with me. I got the preserved word of God in my hand. Right here. When I say preserved, that means inspiration is preserved.
That's right.
Thought is preserved. Every word is preserved. Every jot is preserved. Every tittle is preserved. I don't have no problem believing this is the word of God. I don't have any problem believing this is the preserved word of God. I can't help there's a bunch of knuckleheads today that used to be fundamentalists and used to be this and used to be that. Now they went after some kind of new thing and they don't believe the Bible is the word of God. The King James is not the preserved word of God. They just said, well, it's in these other versions too. No, they contain the word of God, but the Bible here I got is the word of God. So the second point I want to tell you, we have a composed book. It's a work of revelation. This Bible was written by 40 authors. 40. Both Jew and Gentile, but predominantly Jew. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's a compound Greek word made up of two words. It is made up of the word God or theos and the word spirit, which is pneumos. And we get our doctrine pneumatology. He is saying that this book is God-breathed. You say, hey, you know you got the right one because it's God-breathed. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What was it? Amen. I hope my breath's good. What God done, he took 40 human men and he breathed on them. And inspired them. And they wrote the holy book. Acts 1:16 said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Boy, I am. Look at John 14, 26. But when the Comforter has come, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. You know why he can teach you all things? Because he's the writer of the book. Powerful. Am I preaching? Let me give you this. I believe the very words of the Bible are inspired. Some people believe the thoughts are inspired. Well, I believe that too. But I'm glad a little bit further along they are. The very words are inspired. I'm going to prove that. I believe it'd be good. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, it really says it. It says, I'm laying the foundation that is going to, I want to lay the foundation that's going to help you here. Now you listen to me. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. Amen? But they were revealed by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is given unto you. Every word. It goes on and says, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. This is another one. I tied two together a while ago. I thought I'd just throw this back in. The skeptic was in college classroom one day. And he was making fun of the Bible. And he said, the Bible doesn't make any sense to me. I've read the Bible and I can't make any sense out of the Bible or understand the Bible. I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't understand it at all. And here's some of the part of the first illustration. And one Christian had about as much as he could stand. How many of y'all met somebody about that dumb and you but just had enough? Come on now. He said, well, sir, that's what you get for reading somebody else's mail. Hey, sinner man, you can't understand this. Because it's somebody else's mail. It's my mail. It's God's children's mail. It's God's people's mail. You can't understand it. It's got to be revealed to you by the Holy Ghost of God. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Am I preaching? Let me go to my last one and I'm done. And I'll make an application and I'm finished. Lastly, the Holy Spirit conceived a Savior. How many of y'all believe that? That's the work of incarnation. Matthew 1:20 says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Luke the doctor said in Luke 1:34 and 35, he talks about the same thought that God was in her. Every part of the ministry of Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost. Can I give that to you? His birth was led. How many agree? His temptation in the wilderness was led because he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we sure know that his baptism had the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost came out of heaven as a dove, like a dove. Stop, Eric. Let me give you a Holy Ghost thought here. You remember that dove that went out of Noah's ark that never found nowhere to rest his feet? Well, no, he never did find anywhere. Oh, Lord God. He never did find nowhere because he was reserved in heaven to come down and light upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, better get back down. I just had to get up on that one. Whoa! Bruh, well, well, I know tongues ain't right. You know why? Because right now I'd be speaking to them if it's right. I'm so happy. He was led to the cross by the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected from the dead, the Bible said in Romans, by the Holy Spirit. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, you do mortify or put to death the deeds of your body. For the Spirit that raised up Jesus shall also raise up your mortal body. Now let me take you home. I'm going home now on this application. Hate that. Now how many of y'all believe there's something in the breath of God? After hearing that. Now there's three types of people here. Two types, actually three. Number one, there's sinners here. Sinner man, sinner woman, sinner boy and girl. You're not going to get saved till the convicting power of the Holy Ghost comes on you and broods on you and breathes on you. But I want you to know something. If he's breathing on you right now, you know it. It probably is producing some emotion in you, like your heart might be beating a little faster, or you're a nervous wreck and you're about to ready to take a pill. Don't get nervous. Just come to Jesus. And when you do, you'll get the Holy Ghost the same moment you get saved. And how about the saint? Child of God, we get beat around a lot. Look at me, we get beat around a lot. This world's not our friend. How many of y'all agree this world's not our friend? But the Bible says that we've got a comforter. Woo! I've probably shared this before, but it's good enough to share again. When I was raised on Chandler's Branch, house we lived in had holes everywhere. It's okay in summer, it helped the air condition. Winter, you froze to death. I remember one winter I was freezing to death, and my mom was a sewer. Oh, I'm about to get happy. I was laying in there, I said, Mama, I'm cold. She said, John David, I've been making something for you for 2 months. She came into my room, and she laid over me a comforter. How many of y'all know what a comforter is? A blanket, comforter. Come on, raise your hand. I mean, have you ever seen one? I want to tell you, when she done that and laid that thing over me, I want to be honest with you, it was so warm, the sweat got on my head at 25 degrees in that house. It's cold, but sweat popped out. That's fine. Well, can I tell you something? When God puts his holy comfort on you, he can take you through anything. He can bear anything for you. He can bring the warmth of Almighty God, the breath of Almighty God, saint of God. That's what we need. In sanctuary of God. And by the way, you are the body of Christ. And I want you to know what we need in our church. We don't need a bunch of new stuff. We need a dose of the old stuff. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that brought revival in this country. By the way, through this Bible. Through this Bible. Somebody said, what about the NIV? Did they bring it through that? No. God wouldn't use the NIV. It's too light. It's got 66,000 less words. It takes out whole passages of Scripture. Why would God want a Bible like that? And why would God want an ASV that don't even say His Son was born of a virgin, but was born of a good woman? The day we change this from this church, if it ever does after this old man dies, that ain't the only thing will change. Your worship will change. Your purpose will change. Everything about this place will be about what's going on in the world today. Ain't nothing but a bunch of confusion.